If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network, and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business, along with the business of politics and sports. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on lessons he learned from his family, RFK and JFK, taking on the mob, advancing civil rights, proposing nuclear test bans, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Vietnam, the hot passion and idealism of Bobby Kennedy to the cool, detached JFK. From Camelot to tragedy, America's values from America's family, tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an environmental activist and attorney. He serves as senior attorney for the Natural Resources Defense Council, chief prosecuting attorney for the Hudson Riverkeeper, president of the Waterkeeper Alliance. He's a guest on this show previously for his book about his cousin, framed why Michael Skakel spent over a decade in prison for a murder he didn't commit. This book is American Values, Lessons I Learned from My Family. Welcome back, Bobby. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
We just interviewed Carrie, your sister, a while back on her book, Ripples of Hope, and she nicely signed it, Ask Why Not, because I told her my favorite Bobby Kennedy quote, which is from George Bernard Shaw, was, "Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream things that never were and ask why not." And she signed the book, Ask Why Not, so it was nice. I got to tell you one other thing, Bobby. My dad was British, was in the Royal Navy, and when World War II, when Joe Kennedy was the ambassador, my dad got to dance with Kit Kennedy at some function. Said she was absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, by the way, as you know, I'm sure.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is. It's pretty cool.
Her husband was Billy McTosh, who was killed on the Maginot Line.
Yes, that's right.
At the beginning of the war. And he would have been the Duke of Devonshire,
the
largest house in England.
Yeah, Dad said he was very nice. She was very nice, and I don't know how he got to dance with her, but it's pretty nice, I have to say. What's it like? Has it been a burden carrying the name Bobby Kennedy Jr.?
No, I think it's been a benefit. I mean, I'm very grateful for my name. I'm grateful for my family. And as I talked about in the book, I had a magical, magical upbringing, and it was at the center of one of the most exciting eras in American history. My home at Hickory Hill was the satellite White House for most of the Camelot years, and then the house at Hyannisport, the compound where I was raised, communally with 29 cousins, was the official summer White House. My uncle would land in a helicopter on the lawn right next to the ocean every Friday. Two helicopters, Marine helicopters, would come in with Uncle Jack, my father, my Uncle Steve Smith, who was the chief of staff, my Uncle Sart Shriver, who was the director of the Peace Corps, my father, who was Attorney General, and my Uncle Teddy, who was then in the United States Senate.
Wow.
And the seat of government moved to Hyannisport for the weekend. And it was, you know, they were entertainers. They were Cuban guerrillas from the Bay of Pigs. There were CIA spies, there were KGB spies like Georgi Bolshakov, who smuggled the letters, the first of 26 letters to from Khrushchev to my uncle and running the KGB and the intelligence and the Kremlin war hawk. They established this wonderful personal relationship that really prevented the world from going to war. But there were Green Berets, and then, of course, there were lots of Hollywood entertainers and civil rights leaders and union leaders. And there was an endless parade of the interesting and effective people who were constantly at the house. The battle that was the kind of central battle that I describe in the book is this fight between, it was a 50-year battle between my family on one hand, the CIA and the military-industrial complex on the other.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I was amazed by that. We'll talk about that in the next segment, actually. Let me ask you, why did you write this now?
Well, really, there was no particular reason that I chose right now. I started writing the book. A HarperCollins editor called Tim Duggan asked me to write the book 10 years ago, and I started and wrote a good deal of it, and then I wrote three intervening books, including the one that you mentioned, the Michael Spiegel book, Frame. And then, you know, HarperCollins started getting anxious and asked me to get back and give them the book that was now 10 years late. So I got it. I think the timing of it was good, though, because its publication coincided with the 50th anniversary of my father's death. And some of the, you know, a lot of the book is about the CIA and the mob and the constant threats on, you know, of violence against my family that I grew up with and that were just part of our day-to-day lives. But I think there's been a reassessment, a rethinking of, you know, what the assassinations meant for our country. And I think that, you know, I tried to make a contribution to that dialogue in this book.
Which you have done. Let me ask you this. Do you buy that there was a fundamental transformation of Bobby from this ruthless campaign manager he was and then working with on the Army McCarthy hearings to this idealist? Do you buy that transformation?
No, that's really an oversimplification of my dad. I mean, in its darkest terms, you know, my father was kind of very tough and, I would say, almost kind of a sullen kid and very serious. But he always stood up for the underdog. Even, you know, when he was in law school, he had Ralph Hunch come to speak at the University of Virginia at a time when integration was illegal in public places. And he insisted that Ralph Hunch speak to an integrated audience. And he shattered 200 years of University of Virginia history and violated the Constitution of Virginia by forcing the first integrated audience in the history of the university. And there are many other instances. And Ralph Bunch stayed at his home that night with my mother. They had just moved in. They were newlywed. And their house was firebombed. They had, you know, bricks and rocks and missiles. And I talk about some of that in the book. But there were many, many other instances where my father, you know, my father was a guy who was always for the underdog. He was the smallest of his brothers. He was probably the best athlete, although my Uncle Teddy did get drafted by the Green Bay Packers, but my father played football at Harvard. He was the smallest man on and he was first string on the largest team and toughest team in Harvard's history. But he played on a semi-pro basketball team, and but he was always the smallest. He was 5'10" in a family where most people were over 6 feet. And he was the youngest, you know, he was the second youngest boy in the family. And he grew up in the shadow of two heroic big brothers. And he, you know, I go into the Army McCarthy hearings, and I was at, when I was a little boy, I went to the Rackets Committee hearings, which
McClellan,
followed that and saw the mobsters and watched my father prosecute Jimmy Hoffa. But my father had a very short involvement with McCarthy, but it's something that he never really, he never took the time to explain to people because he just said it was a mistake. In fact, his relationship with McCarthy, it's an interesting relationship because McCarthy had a, you know, was a very powerful in the Catholic community. Mm-hmm. And he was friends with my grandfather. And in fact, he was friends with all the kids because he had fought in the Pacific alongside my uncle, Jack Kennedy, and a tail gunner and a bomber pilot in the same theater. He was a boxer at Marquette University, and he was a tough guy, and they admired that about him, and he was very congenial. They knew him long before he became a demagogue and before he, you know, started doing the kind of mischief that he ended up doing. But he came to the Cape. He couldn't swim, and yet he jumped off a boat when the rest of them did and took his chances, and they admired, and he played football with a recklessness that they admired. Oh, he was friends with them all. And then when my uncle Jack ran for the Senate in 56 against Cabot Lodge in Massachusetts, McCarthy probably could have flipped that election for Lodge because he had such strong appeal with Catholic voters, and yet he didn't, as a courtesy, he didn't come into the state. And my father took a job with him. He wanted to be chief counsel, but McCarthy hired Roy Cohn, from day one, they were at each other's throats. My father had nothing to do with the prosecutions of communists in the State Department or any of that stuff. His only job, McCarthy, was prosecuting businesses, large corporations that had been cheating on and violating the Trading with the Enemy Act during the Korean War. And he successfully prosecuted them and then quit and went to the other side, McClellan side, minority side of the committee, and drafted the resolution that ended up condemning McCarthy. So he never explained that, but he, you know, in truth, he comported himself nobly throughout that incident, throughout that period, but he never said that himself.
All right, listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Business Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen to our podcast. Next, we'll look at the revelations of a rogue and anti-Kennedy CIA.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with RFK Jr. on his father and Kennedy family values. Before we get to the CIA revelations, which I had never realized were so anti-Kennedy, I want to ask about your grandfather because, you know, he had all these stigmas attached to him, a Nazi sympathizer in the stock market, shorting the market, and a bootlegger, forced his kids into politics. But you kind of dispute that image, right?
Well, I won't dispute that he shorted the stock market because he did. There was nothing illegal about that.
Exactly, yes.
He was never a bootlegger, and there's absolutely no evidence that he ever was. And it's kind of absurd to even think that he was a bootlegger. He went through four separate Senate confirmation hearings when he was ambassador, when he ran the Maritime Commission, when he sat on another CIA commission, and, of course, when he was head of the SEC. And if he'd had anything to do with bootlegging or mobsters or anything like that, his enemies, which were abundant, would have brought that stuff up. And nobody, it was after President, nobody ever talked about Joseph Kennedy as a bootlegger until the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a slander that was generated by, with the help of the CIA, Sam Halpern, who was a CIA official who was charged with blackening the Kennedy name for three decades. And it was one of the slanders that he helped craft during and promote during the mid-60s after President Kennedy was killed. And it was the first time anybody had ever heard that. It was never a serious charge against my uncle, and my grandfather, and there's no indication that nobody's ever been able to find even a scrap of evidence that there is any truth to whatsoever.
All right, let me ask you, was the charge that he was a Nazi sympathizer when he was ambassador, is that a fair charge?
No, of course not. And, you know, my grandfather was anti-war, so he had the same position during World War One. He lost many friendships, and many of his friends who went to that war came back disillusioned. And he believed that war only benefited the bankers and the wealthy, that it was a scheme, that it was a canard, and that America should follow the instincts and the proclamations of our founders, which was to never go abroad, to support democracy, morally wherever it arose in the world, but not to go abroad looking for monsters to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should pay attention. We should perfect the union at home. We should fortify our shores and make sure we couldn't be invaded. But that the best path to national security would be a strong economy at home. And he didn't believe that we should get into European conflagrations. He was very pro-British. He was an Anglophile, and he was very popular in England until he took the position that we shouldn't get into the war. Now, at that time, you have to remember, 80% of Americans felt the same way. Franklin yes. Roosevelt's campaign that year on the basis that he was going to keep the country out of war. So Americans in general did not want to go to war. After my grandfather was never a Nazi sympathizer any more than any other American was who didn't want to go to war. And at the time, prior to Pearl Harbor, prior to Kristallnacht, in fact, Americans were completely unaware of the death camps. In fact, the death camps weren't really up and running until after Kristallnacht. And as soon as Kristallnacht happened, my grandfather was running around with his hair on fire, trying to figure out ways to save the Jewish populations in Austria and Germany.
Hmm.
And all my life, I've had people coming up to me saying, I'm here because your grandfather saved my grandmother, my grandfather. He was more energetic than any other member of the administration. In fact, the Boston Globe called him the Zionist Charlie McCarthy because he was so involved with the Zionists who continued to support him to the end. And it ruined his relationship with Roosevelt
yeah.
and with Secretary of State Cordell Hull. His absolute insistence that the United States take a leadership role in saving the Jews that were being persecuted by Hitler. But even then, and of course, after Pearl Harbor, his sons all signed up, and he did whatever he could to support the war effort once we'd been attacked. But he took the same position that most Americans were taking, which is we shouldn't be getting into other people's wars.
All right, let me ask you, moving to the CIA, because it is stunning, the case of rogue behavior against the Kennedy. You mentioned Sam Halpern. The Bay of Pigs, was JFK refusing to do airstrikes to support that? Is that what drove the CIA enmity against the Kennedys, or what was it?
Well, it started even before that. My family had a long and antagonistic relationship with Alan Dulles.
Okay.
And in fact, my father and my uncle went to Vietnam in 1951 and came back convinced that America should not get into Vietnam. My uncle made a speech about it at that time. He was in Congress. When he was in the Senate in 1956, he made a speech saying that Africa should be ruled by the Africans and strongly supporting the nationalist anti-colonial movement, which was despised by Dulles. And my grandfather, in the mid-50s, sat on a presidential commission that recommended the abolishment of the clandestine services, which he said were getting us in trouble all over the world with mischief that left them accountable to no one, that it was an anti-democratic organization, and that you could not have a constitutional democracy at home and have imperialist state abroad, and that a secret police organization that was engaged in overthrowing governments and fixing elections was inconsistent with every American value.
We'll be back. We'll look at RFK as Attorney General, the Civil Rights Crusade, and we'll finish up on the CIA.
Have you written a book and want to get it published?
Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC 32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. His book is American Values, Lessons I Learned from My Family. One more thing on let's look at Cuba and Castro. RFK's role in Operation Mongoose was designed to depose Castro. Did all these threats trying to assassinate Castro, the CIA incompetence, that backfire back on Bobby and Jack Kennedy, obviously leading to the assassination or not? What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, as I show in the book, my father and my uncle knew nothing about the CIA attempts to assassinate Castro.
Yes, that's right.
They went to, and I don't just say it, and people shouldn't take my word for it, but that's what the CIA's own internal documents showed. In fact, it was Halpern met with Helms and some of the other CIA clandestine service people repeatedly trying to figure out how they could blame President Kennedy and my father or to implicate them in the assassination plot. And they come to the conclusion they couldn't because they knew nothing about it. Eisenhower didn't know about it either, and Johnson didn't know about it. The CIA was doing it. These were rogue elements of the CIA that were doing these assassination plots on their own. My father found out at one point that they'd been working with the mafia and extracted promises from them that they would never be involved with the mob again. My father was prosecuting the same people.
Yes.
Anna and Roselli, that they were, and then he learned that the CIA was doing these secret deals with, and he was furious.
Did Carlos Marcello, did he want to have RFK killed?
Yeah, of course he did. Marcello did, Giancana did. I mean, all of them, you know, I mean, Hoffa actively hired people to kill my father, and he was partners with Giancana and Marcello and Traficante. Traficante was the North Florida boss. Marcello was Dallas. Carlos Marcello was the Dallas and New Orleans boss. Giancana was the boss of the biggest family, which was Al Capone's Chicago outfit.
Chicago,
and all
yeah.
of them had very, very strong reasons for wanting to kill my father. Not only because my father was prosecuting them and putting them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
He filed over 800 indictments against mobsters, mainly from those three families. But also, my father was putting Hoffa in jail. And that was a huge threat to them because Hoffa, the Teamsters Central States Pension Fund, was the piggy bank for the mob. It was $1 billion of free money.
Yeah.
That was available to them on all their projects. And if Hoffa went to jail, he legally could no longer run that fund. And he was their paymaster. He was their banker.
Interesting.
He was giving them their money.
And Bobby Kennedy had no protection. Is that right?
Yeah, my father almost never had protection, or he had very, very minimal protection. He had
mind-boggling.
I mean, we never had protection at home. And in the presidential campaign at that time in American history, primary candidates were not entitled to Secret Service protection. So the only protection that would have been available to him was from the FBI.
And the FBI was
run by one of his worst enemies, J. Edgar Hoover. And Hoover, of course, was reporting directly to Johnson, against whom my father was running. So my father was not going to have FBI guys who obviously would have been spying on him and reporting to Johnson everything that happened in the campaign.
Stuff is unbelievable.
So he rejected the help of the FBI, and for the same reason, he rejected the help of the Los Angeles police, which at that time were an organ of the CIA. You know, and a very right-wing force in our country, Daryl Gates and Sam Yorty, who was mayor, were very, very much against my father and their know, the LAPD was an extremely corrupt police organization.
Bobby, let me ask you this. One more on this Vietnam. JFK put advisors in there. He was a big believer in counterinsurgency. How do you feel so confident that he would have pulled out of Vietnam? We know Bobby would have when he ran in 68, but JFK early in the 60s.
Well, JFK, the record is very clear. Every single person around JFK, with the exception of Ted Sorensen, wanted to put soldiers, combat troops in the Vietnam. And Jack Kennedy steadily refused them. In the end, he put advisors in who were not did not have any official authority to engage in combat. He put fewer than 16,000. That's less people than he sent to Mississippi to get James Meredith into Ole Miss. He sent 20,000 troops there. The Army wanted 250,000 troops. They refused to do it, 250,000 to 500,000. That's what they said was necessary. But, you know, not only did my uncle tell dozens of people that he intended to get out of Vietnam, but he also signed a national security order, 237, 2 months before his death, ordering all troops out of Vietnam by the end of 65, with the first 1,000 out by December of that year, 2 months. So, you know, the record is undisputed that he was on his way out of Vietnam. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that made the CIA, you know, that Vietnam was a CIA project.
All right.
I think that's one of the things they found intolerable.
Let's move to civil rights. The Kennedys were perceived initially to be slow on civil rights, but Bobby ended up being one of the greatest champions of it. Talk about civil rights and the Kennedys.
Well, I think that's right that they, in the beginning, that they felt sympathetic. They felt that we were on the brink of war, that we were, that the United States was in a death struggle with the Soviets over the future of the globe, and that everybody needed to kind of fall in line and be part of that, be conscious, make that battle their priority. And that it was kind of, that it was bad for America to have people rioting and sitting at lunch counters and causing all these problems. So I think that was initially their visceral reaction, but I very quickly, my father came to see what was happening as a kind of bullying that posed an even greater threat to democracy than did Soviet ambitions. Because it meant that we were going to lose everything that America, all the values that defined America, that made America valuable, if we didn't make this problem a priority. By 1962, there was no issue that was more important to the Kennedys than civil rights.
Let me ask you now, the JFK assassination, did RFK blame himself? Did he think the CIA or the mob were involved? Do you think that?
My father's first reaction, the day my Uncle Jack got shot, we were picked up at school when Jack was still alive and brought home. Hickory Hill, and when I got home, my father had been walking in the yard with John McCollum, who was the head of the CIA, and the CIA was half a mile from my house. So yeah. McCollum was over there all the time. But the first thing my father did was to ask McCollum, did your people do this? So his initial instinct was that the CIA had killed his brother. That same afternoon, he called Harry Williams, who was one of the leaders of the Cubans, the anti-Castro Cubans, and asked him, and Williams was one of the few of that group that had remained loyal to the Kennedys, and he asked Williams if it was the Cubans who had, Cuban CIA people, who had, who had murdered his brother. Oh, I think that my father, at that point, as I show in the book, he had no power to investigate this himself. The day that his brother was killed was the last day he ever spoke to J. Edgar Hoover again.
Really?
Hoover, although officially the FBI is part of the Justice Department, Hoover never spoke to my father again. He had a direct pipeline to Lyndon Johnson. My father had no capacity to do an investigation, and to demand that investigation would have been politically destructive, and it would have stopped him from working on all of the other issues, the civil rights, the cities, Vietnam, that he considered a priority.
We'll be back with our final segment with Bobby Kennedy Jr.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it would take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Milberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752.
Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Biz Talk Radio.
Our final national segment, Bobby Kennedy Jr., talking about the Kennedys. On the RFK assassination, what do you remember about it exactly, and the what is the impact end up of a generation of fatherless Kennedy family boys, whether it's Jack's family, your family?
Well, I was 14 years old when my father was killed. I talk about, you know, exactly what happened in the book, but I think the bigger impact was, you know, although my family obviously felt an impact, the larger impact of both those assassinations was on our country, because, you know, there were a number of traumatic events that pushed this country off the road of fulfilling its historical mission as being an exemplary democracy, the exemplary democracy, and put us on the road to being an imperialistic state, a plutocracy. And one of those, of course, was the assassination of my uncle. The other was the escalation of the war in Vietnam. You know, a week after my uncle died, Lyndon Johnson canceled National Security Order 237, which ordered all of the troops out of Vietnam by 1965, and within a year, we had done the, you know, engineered the Tonkin Gulf resolution and made it America's war. And sent, you know, 500,000 Americans over there, 58,000 who had never come back.
Yep.
The other, I think Martin Luther King's assassination, King had recognized the connection between foreign, an aggressive foreign policy and the violence and civil rights problems at home, and his own followers had objected that he had made the Vietnam War a priority. But he said, you got to understand that if we are an imperialistic nation abroad, we cannot be a constitutional democracy at home. And he died. And then, you know, 2 months later, my father, who was running because of Vietnam and would have gotten us out of Vietnam the day that he got into office,
yes,
was killed, and instead we got Nixon, who escalated the war and, you know, and continued it for another 5 years.
Did Bobby hate LBJ as much as the rumors and beliefs?
No, I don't think my father hated LBJ. In fact, LBJ was very kind to my father. During a period when my father was really shattered after my Uncle Jack's death, and you know, I have long letters that LBJ sent to me when I got injured as a little boy, and very, very kind letters. So the relationship was a lot more complicated. LBJ sent my father, because he was worried about him, on a trip to Indonesia to negotiate a peace between the Netherlands and Sukarno in Indonesia, and which my father successfully did, but it was out of concern for my father's health and well-being that he sent him on that mission. And, you know, but there, of course, was a rivalry,
mm-hmm.
and the rivalry got more and more serious, and, you know, as the presidential election approached, and you know, my father had, you know, believed that Johnson was really crazy about Vietnam, and you know, my father met with him and just thought that he was that he was bringing the country in a really bad direction. And I, you know, I had my own encounters. Johnson would follow us when we were kids and have us followed when we had visitors at the house, like McNamara or Dick Goodwin or Wayne Morse or any of these other people. They'd always receive phone calls at our house so that Johnson would know, so that they would know that the FBI was watching them and informing Johnson that they were visiting his political enemy. And one night we went to dinner at Bob McNamara's house. In the middle of dinner, Johnson burst in with an entourage and came and sat at the dinner table with us to shake everybody up and show McNamara that he was keeping an eye on him and that, you know, he considered this an act of disloyalty. So it was a complicated relationship.
Complicated.
And in the end, I think it became very tumultuous.
All right. Talk about growing up, you know, a generation of fatherless Kennedys. You're very honest in the book about drug problems, your relationship with your mother. Talk a little bit about that as we get towards the end.
My mom's message to me and to the other brothers and sisters was always that, you know, everybody takes their licks. And know that everybody, life is about a hardship, and it's about how you handle it, and that there were kids in Watts and Harlem who had lost their parents, and they didn't have the support system that we had in our family, and that we were lucky, that we were fortunate, and that we needed to figure out not what was wrong with life, but how we could use the lives that we did have to do something beneficial for other people. And I had a tumultuous relationship with my mother growing up.
Yeah.
But, you know, in many ways, the book is about, you know, how that relationship evolved and ultimately healed.
You're known as an environmental activist. Why didn't you go into politics?
Well, what I do is politics. It's a political struggle over the most important resource, publicly owned resource, the commons of the Commonwealth, and who's going to own it? Is it going to be owned by the Koch brothers and their political lackeys, or is it going to be owned and controlled by the people? And, you know, that's really what the environmental issue is about. Who controls the air, the water, the wildlife, the fisheries, the public land, those things that we hold in common that are not susceptible to private property ownership, but by their nature are part of our communities? And are we going to, those are issues, those are resources that the law says that everybody has a right to use them, whether you're rich or poor or black or white or humble or noble. Everybody can use them. Nobody can use them in a way that will diminish or injure their use and enjoyment by others. And in an ideal democracy, they continue to be owned by everybody, but the first act of tyranny always includes efforts by powerful individuals in the society to privatize the public trust, to privatize the commons. I've spent, you know, my career doing stuff that I love.
All right. We can only speculate how history would have been a lot different had RFK lived. We're going to finish up with a brief cut from Teddy Kennedy's eulogy of your father.
My brother need not be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life. Be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it.
Thanks to Bobby Kennedy Jr., the book American Values, Lessons I Learned from My Family. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Thanks to our national audience for listening. See everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.